for several months now has been going through the church constitution. We had announced a new members class, and it was decided that we would do it during as a Sunday school class, just to review for those who are here, and then to be able to wind it down. I think we're at the last session. We're on page 19 of the Constitution, and we've gone through the doctrinal statement, which is the most important part of our Constitution, then through some of the procedures and the way things work here. And we're at the section that relates to edification and fellowship, then how we handle business, and then we're pretty close to, there's just some miscellaneous things that have to be in a constitution. For example, one is required since our churches are incorporated in the state, we have to have a dissolution clause. And it's not just state, that's federal. For people that take tax deductions, a dissolution clause is supposed to be there. Unfortunately, there have been churches that have ignored the dissolution clause or otherwise. But anyway, let's pray and we'll embark on these studies. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of being your children and being in the family of God and being able to relate together here at Valley. We're thankful for the many years of joy we've been able to share because we are able to fellowship with one another, and we have an environment in which we can love one another, and we trust that there is an atmosphere of spirituality in which the Holy Spirit can produce the fruit of the Spirit so that love can be legitimate and genuine. Well, thank you as you bless in this time of study. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, services and meetings. Why do we exist? It's for service. It's so important to be together as saints. This COVID business hasn't helped the church a lot in general. I'm seeing churches that have people that, when they're able to be back in church, they're reticent to come back, to church and churches. Some probably are not going to be back in churches, because they got the habit of not being in church and they feel pretty good about having an extra day. They don't appreciate the blessings that we have compared to, let's say, Judaism. If you believed in the Shabbat, that is the Sabbath, you have from sundown on Friday night till sundown on Saturday night. And that is got all kinds of rules and regulation. If you were Jewish, and this was a synagogue, you'd have a problem getting here. The Sabbath day's journey ain't too long. And it's just not to get to church or get to synagogue. And it's very, very interesting, the regulations that occur in that. We have the freedom to be able to be together, and it's just because we are drawn by the magnet we trust of love. And that draws us together because we love one another, and that's important to us. And the primary purpose we have here is what? Edification. We want to build one another up and be built up in the Word. We're not here to be a comedy hour. We're not here to be a political forum. But we're rather here to be a bunch of saints to be built up in the faith and to have those moorings strengthened as we share. And so we each Sunday morning and afternoon we gather and we can, we have prayer, we have praise, we have Bible study, when we do have a prayer meeting time in midweek, we do that then. Because that's our goal, is edification. And so, the church has a responsibility, which is true here, to arrange the date and the time and the place of any meeting. Our constitution identifies some of that for us, but we make it a meeting in the church, that's the time. And I've used the illustration that I know of a pastor who went into an agricultural community. And he had come from a church, they had a 6 o'clock evening service. And this church that he went to as pastor had a 7 o'clock evening service. And so he had a little idea that probably he was a pastor dictator. So he was going to reset the time of the meeting. Well, he had a little trouble with the congregation. They didn't really want to vote, and the cows didn't get a chance to vote, but the people who had him did. And he ended up with a 7 o'clock service, whether he liked it or not. And the reason was the cows were used to being milked at the same time, and it was just, you know, it's routine if you're in a big dairy business. And so the church, that was a good example of somebody trying to override a church without having any understanding of it. The circumstance. We can set date, time, and place. And so if we decide we are going to have a meeting on a Sunday up somewhere for a camp out, well, it's been interesting. In our camp out times when we've had them, we've been able to divide. That is, have a small group in one place, small group in the other. We vote on those things. And so that becomes very, I mean, it's the church's responsibility. Normally, the Lordian table will be observed on the first Sunday of the month, a la today. And this is our first Sunday. We have communion today. And some might not like the idea of calling it the Lordian table. It's just what the scriptures call it. It's more accurate than communion, because communion is in structure. It's having communion, not a name is all. And so that's why we call it that. That's why it's in the bulletin. We are trying to be a little bit more consistent than some do. We do, or have had in the past, and fellowship offering for Deacon's Fund. We haven't done that for a while, but the church had decided to put all the offerings in one. I mean, unless they're special. Special meetings to promote evangelism, Bible study, missionary work, and other spiritual activity may be held upon the recommendation of the Board of Deacons and Pastors. Unless recommended by the Board of Deacons and Pastors, no special meeting can be promoted as being an official function of Valley Baptist. So, in other words, if somebody wants to have a meeting to promote, what's a good thing to promote? A closing drive. We're a good Baptist church. We don't have rummage sales here. I guess that means we're not a good Baptist church. We're in the South. You have to have rummage sales. But it's just something that we have not done, haven't encouraged. I think in all the time that I've been here, we have had, or the ladies one time had a garage sale. And it was, the receipts were given to the church. Again, we believe in congregational government because the Bible says so. And so we prefer to let the congregation decide on these, and that's what this does. Now, business, we changed the date on this officially. fiscal year of the church is Jan 1. It should be Feb 1. Now that we changed, it's not in the constitution. It's easier to do a business meeting at that time. In an annual, we elect officers, do other business, which is minimal. It moves us into February because of change in the fiscal year on that. And so we can call special meetings. Usually it involves two meetings of the church. Valley has been for years very, very informal. In other words, we're not meeting for the sake of meeting. Normally we meet for particular issues. It may be one item, but it doesn't happen real often. It's 2 weeks' notice, it's supposed to be, or two meetings. It's kind of interesting how that gets interpreted. If necessary, we can have quarterly meetings, and those would be the second Sundays of these months. And it's been many years since we've had quarterly, so we haven't really needed them. Special meetings may be called by the pastor or 10 of the voting members of the church, providing notice of such meeting is given at a preceding morning worship service. The reception of members can be voted on in any regular service. These special business meetings are not used to circumvent the notification requirements of the Constitution. So as far as having meetings, I know most of us are happy not to have a lot of meetings. It's interesting how my past has affected the way I look at things, I suppose, because before I was a pastor and during my first pastorate, we had a monthly business meeting when I was a pastor in California. And sometimes, in fact, it was kind of funny, that constitution required the pastor to be the moderator. And so what happened, I would moderate, and they thought those were the fastest business meetings they'd seen sometimes. Getting the actual business done. I'm going to make a comment, and that is, I believe that spiritual believers should be able to discern the will of God before they get into business meeting without trying to do it if there's information you know otherwise. And that does make things move much more quickly. It's not that if somebody has an issue, we're not going to consider it. Okay. Now, we have, and I mentioned this earlier, we have the spheres of authority of the pastor, pastors already mentioned in the bulletin. The pastor has biblical privileges because of the office, not because of his spiritual gift necessarily, though the link is necessary there. But there are spheres of authority related to the church as a whole. And so the local church has the authority to do several things. And that's what we call congregational government. And obviously, the local church has a right to appoint its own pastor. And so that's the procedures we have in Section 13 in the Constitution. So, and within those parameters, the church goes through the proper procedure to select a pastor. And I mentioned when we were there, our Constitution does not permit a horse race. That is, we are to consult with the Holy Spirit and His guidance and look at one man at a time. That is not only ethical, it's scriptural, and so we look at an individual one at a time. And I've had a lot of flack from other pastors when they hear that that's what we want to, I mean, people in churches, I should say, because they want a horse race. In other words, they want a popularity contest. A Pastor America, like Miss America. You know, that's what a lot of people like to do. And so it becomes a popularity thing. What happens so often in these popularity contests with pastors is that they get what they deserve. They find out what's on the surface is not and they don't look to God to determine. They look to a majority vote and winning a party, as it were. There's sometimes super church politics in trying to get a pastor. And the Holy Spirit often doesn't have it, but that's what it should be for the church. The church has a right to appoint its own missionaries. We use the word missionary here in a sense that is used in the modern church. Missionaries usually are identified as apostles. That's the missionary idea. And a missionary is not an apostle, even though they are sent. Apostle is a specific gift, but a missionary goes elsewhere, supported or self-supported. You hear of tent makers. So the church appoints its missionary. And that's one area that we can do. To appoint messengers to represent it. And we could go, I've got the scriptures here so you can see. 1 Corinthians 16. From time to time, the best example of this is when a young man seeks ordination, and the church, either of which he's a pastor or a member, decides that they would like to have a recommendation council concerning qualifications of that young man. They might send a letter and say, such and such a church is having an ordination examination, and we are inviting for you to send a pastor and two messengers to represent your church to sit on this council. So the church is the one who determines who that is. It's kind of interesting. Most of those letters do say just what I said. The pastor, and if there are more than one, they don't usually complain if you say two pastors. But anyway, that's one example. Say there's a new church being started and they want to call a council to evaluate their constitution. Often there are fellowships of churches which will have a council to examine their documents and their purposes so they can recommend a fellowship within that fellowship. So that's one of the matters. Of course, the local church is the one who appoints its deacons and officers. Those procedures are also in the document we're looking at. And so we have election. Pastor doesn't appoint. It's kind of interesting. There are churches that will have pastors essentially appoint. And then you end up with a board of elders, and the elders appoint. I remember a church which really made me rather unhappy. It should have never happened. But the congregation did not vote for the pastor. The board of elders selected the senior pastor. And the congregation had no voice, zero voice in that selection of a pastor. And that was bad polity. When I say that, that's not congregational. When you have elder rule, that is extra biblical. because they want to be free of the congregation. And so that was sad to me when that happened. And that was somebody I thought should know better. The church has a right to determine the time and place of meeting. Valley, many years ago now, boy, I hate to even think how long ago that was, just before I came, made the decision to meet in Gaston. And they found a building there, or had a place to meet in Gaston, and they did it for, I think it was about a year from what I hear. It was more convenient. So this building sat here. I think they may have had prayer meetings out here. But the church voted to do that, and they went into Gaston. It was interesting because there were a few people at that time, I understand, that wanted to did not want to go to Gaston. And so, it caused a little bit of friction. And some did not, they left the church with that. But any time or place of meeting, if we had a church picnic and we said, we're going to have an afternoon service, church picnic. I remember one day we did that and voted, had a picnic, and Mr. Bill Louie was here. And he spoke in the afternoon in the church picnic. And everybody was just thrilled when that happened. And the church had made that decision. And we made sure that that was true. I think I've told this story before. When I was in El Sobrante, there was something special. And as far as a place or time of meeting. And I said, we have to call a special business meeting. And, this young man that was in the church, said, you're the pastor. You can just tell him. What we're going to do, I said, that is not my sphere of authority. That's the church's. And I hope you learned a lesson about congregational government. I said, that's why we're voting. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's congregational. And so we can, and you get these verses here out of 1 Corinthians. For all the problems in the Corinthian church, we have a whole lot of ecclesiology in it. That is how churches function. To appoint a time and place of the Lordian table. In the Constitution, we normally have communion on the first Sunday of the month. But we have had it, and we have now in the minutes of the church, we said, well, it's been quite a few years ago now, an ongoing thing that gave us the permission to do communion with the forum. And the church legislated that we at the last, or in the forum, but it becomes the last part of the forum. I always feel bad. Some people, they want to go home before at the end of the forum. We have had so many blessed times sitting in this room doing communion at the end of the forum. All of these saints that have come from hither and yon all over the country, even though there are maybe 30 or 40 of us, and what happens? We have communion, and it just puts a ribbon on the cape. That it says, we are here, and we have something in common, and we're here because of the work of Christ and the provision of the church. And it's sometimes, of course, I'm usually so tired when I get to that point, I'm about ready to collapse anyway, so it can be very emotional for me, because I look at people, and it's hard, you look at these, there's a student man, it's been a long time, and he's in the body as I am, and other folks that come in, and that ongoing reminder of the day when some of the students that come in for the forum, and they're there and they say, we used to sit on the first Sundays of the month and partake of the cup together because we had this in common. And so the church did that as a permanent thing for the forum. The church has a responsibility of disciplining and excluding members. So church discipline is the act of the church. And it's not something that we necessarily like to do, but if we have to, we do. I used to make people really unhappy with me. Because, you know, the big discipline thing was for adultery or something like that. But I used to say, you know, if there's somebody that's causing difficulties in the church and their gossips is as bad as an adulterer or adulteress. And I can say there were some people who were really angry that I would say that. I wasn't trying to win friends and influence people. Maybe I was trying to influence people to try to throttle that other area. We can exclude or discipline. However, it happens. We have to really follow the Lord's will. And if there are grievances between and among brethren, 1 Corinthians 6, if a brother has a problem with another brother, I was just reading about a rabbi who was one of the judges, was on he was in a dean committee, which is a judge committee in Judaism. And this rabbi had this guy come and say, I lent this person so much money, and they promised to give it back, and they hadn't, and they didn't. And so the guy came and said, he didn't lend me any money. And he had not lent me a thing. And, you know, he lied. But anyway, what did the rabbi do? He said, where did you lend him the money? What was the situation? Because they didn't have anything written down. Oh, he said, there was this big tree. We were sitting in the shade. And he asked me for the money, and I lent it to him on a promise. You know what the rabbi did? He said, okay, you go to that tree and get a branch of it and bring it back, and we'll make the decision. And so what happened was the guy took off, and the rabbi just got all agitated. Boy, I hope this doesn't take long. I've got something to do, and, you know, I'm looking at his watch. And the other guy's waiting there. And he said, oh, it's a little ways away. It'd take about half an hour. And the rabbi said, okay. Hey, Saul. The guy proven that he was a liar by this clever rabbi. And the guy came back with his stick and he said, well, the case is settled. And the other guy had to admit that he had lied and he didn't have the money. And so they did set something up. But that was a rabbinical gown, so that's the way they handled it in some of Judaism. They do it today. Okay. Now, miscellaneous. Can we do miscellaneous in 15 minutes? General Roberts. Roberts Rules of Order. When I say General Roberts, I'm not talking about General Rules of Order. I'm talking about a guy named General Roberts. He was a general. And he was the guy who established the rules of order for the U.S. Congress. It was an adaptation of the material that was used in the House of Commons in England. And this was prior to the Civil War era. And so these were rules that were designed to provide a standard for conducting business meetings by Congress the House of Representatives, Senate. And so it became something highly accepted because they needed structure. I don't know if you followed what's been going on, but they've been rather unhappy, a certain party in the Senate because the parliamentarian in the Senate declared some action in violation of the orders of the Congress. And so Robert's Rules of Order, General Robert's rules have come to affect the church. And all it is, well, you want to know why Roberts existed primarily? It was to defend the rights of the minority so the minority could have a voice. And so it gives you some idea. And so we use Robert's Rules of Order. Dale teaches Robert's Rules in homiletics so that you have some idea how a business meeting should be conducted. And so that's what our standard is. And often there's a copy of Robert's Rules if we need it. Depending on the kind of chicanery that some people want to do, it's a good idea to understand Robert's Rules. There were situations that took place that in churches where there were people who knew Robert's Rules better than people who should have known them. And they ended up, it caused major problems within denominations. Voting members, only members 14 years of age or older are eligible to vote. 25% of such active members shall constitute a quorum. It's a small quorum. The transact business, 50% of such active members for annual meetings approve and approving the recommendation of the pulpit committee for the calling or dismissing of a pastor, buying or selling real property, the purchase or selling of personal property in excess of $1,000. There isn't much in this building that's even $100, but that's what's required. Absentee ballot, if someone is not going to be in a business meeting, they do have a right to an absentee ballot in a specific issue. And so ballot is to be done in person, in paper, in writing, and given it's a deacon or leadership in that matter. 51% vote is required, a summary of voting requirements, to approve new members, elections, to conduct normal business meetings. So those who are in the quorum, who are in the meeting, 51% are involved in that. Alterations and amendments. This constitution may be altered or amended by 3/4 a vote of the voting members present in any regular business meeting, provided the proposed alteration or amendment shall have been submitted to the church in writing at least 2 weeks prior to the meeting. And so it's 3/4 vote, and we ended up when we revised this holding the 3/4 vote in relationship to the doctrinal statement. We had some discussion about that, I remember. But it's difficult to change because it requires a pretty solid majority in that matter. The last section is that one that's required by the IRS and state corporations normally. No part of the net earnings of the church shall ever inure to the benefit of any donor, member, director, or officer of the corporation. And this sounds like it is governmental. The corporation doesn't say church. It is considered that by government. Nor shall any private individual be entitled to share in the distribution of any of the corporate assets. So this dissolution, nobody can profit from sale of anything that the church has when it dissolves. And this has been required for quite a number of years by our government. Bond dissolution, any assets of the corporation must be distributed, and here's to a Baptist organization or missionary enterprise, which is in agreement with the statement of faith of Valley Baptist Church of Gaston, and which is exempt from federal income tax. You see, that's government requirement. I mean, it's not a bad requirement, is what I'm trying to say. Such distribution is done with a view that it be used in propagation of the biblical Baptist faith held in this, by this church. And so, that's our constitution. And I trust if you have any, I mean, are there any questions? We revised, I mean, this was adopted in 2006. It was revised, again a little later, but that's where we are now. What we need to do, for those who have been here for this, we need to set up a time, and Chris, and I haven't talked to Chris about this. Chris and I will meet with you, and interview, and, the procedure, for those who want, we ask as, in that interview, your testimonies and that kind of thing. And then, upon recommendation, we will have you give the testimony in front of the church, and then the church will vote. And, that will, make you official. So that's where we're at. So, believe it or not, even with the time change, I didn't think I was going to get through this on it. So this is the last of the material, I mean, of the Constitution. So we will figure out a time to meet and let me know what would be convenient and go from there on that matter. So it's good for us to go through these things. And the regular teacher will return. He will be back on the air, if he can hear me. anyway, Father, may you bless as we continue in the day. And thankful again for the privilege of being organized, being a church, and being able to be used of you in so many ways. We are small in numbers, yet we're not. We have many that share with us, some online and many other ways, and we appreciate it. Bless us as we do the next service in Christ. Amen.